Miss Shepherd, reel 7.
But how did you find out about the Corps to begin with?
It was in the papers. Women wanted, you know, emergencies. Apply, what was it? Oh, I'll tell you the name of the street. Causeway Street, near Baker Street. It was off Baker Street. And as I say, there were about 100 of us applied the first night. We were all enrolled. And Mrs. Charlesworth said, well, now it's no use, because we were all in hobble skirts. Have you ever seen hobble skirts right down to the ground? Anyhow, she said, well, now, you people, it's not a picnic. You're going to really work, and you're going to show people that you can do something. And so we intend in future to put you, we're going to make you put you into khaki. You'll have to buy your own uniforms, but we want you, and you're going to be soldiers, but you've got to work hard. And so we started, that was the training. And the first training we had, she said, we can't do anything without discipline. So, I don't know, it must have been with the permission of the War Office or someone, because a Grenadier Guardsman came to give us drill.
What sort of drill?
Oh, foam falls, you know, real square bashing. And he would say, I don't know whether you've ever seen anyway, it was foam falls in those days, but he would say, and then about turn, about, and he'd wait for a minute or two, and of course, us in hobble skirts. And when he said, turn, I say, do you know what you look like? A lot of jelly bags. It was so funny, really. But that's what it was. And he really did put it. Well, I suppose we had a month of him. It was alternately. He used to give us the drill because we had to have discipline. We couldn't do anything. And he's quite right. You can't do anything without discipline. Then we had first aid, that came on next, first aid and home nursing, all same night. And then signalling, semaphore, Morse and semaphore. We had to do that. So that we had to be proficient, so that whatever we were called upon to do, it was really an emergency call. Any emergency, we had to be able to do. Didn't matter. We couldn't say can't, I can't do it. No such a word as can't.
How long did that training last?
That lasted about a month. You know, extensive.
Every night?
Every night, yes. Every night, yes. Extensive training. Emergency problem. In the, in the first aid, when we got almost to the end of the first aid, and then Dr. Christine Morell, she was one of the first women surgeons, noted women surgeons. Unfortunately, she's dead now. She died about, before the end of the war. But she took us for this first aid, what she used to call problems. And then you had to imagine wherever you were. You had nothing at all, only your own brain and your hands. Well, this time, one of her problems was one girl, she'd have us in the ring, and she'd say, now, you take the problem. Now, this is a boarding house, and there's a girl living here, and she hasn't been seen for 2 days. You. So the girl, of course, forced the door open. The door was locked. The girl first forced the door open and stood there looking round. She said, fall down, you're unconscious. And she'd talk to another girl. You, take it up. Because she had another problem. You see, the girl was lying there, so she had to drag. She was a quick-witted girl, so she dragged the girl outside and popped her on the landing. And then she got so excited about it, she went into the room, and she guessed it was a girl had gassed herself. And she got so excited, she actually broke a pane of the window. Actually broke it. In the schoolroom. Oh dear, oh dear. But she got her girl out and she did her problem. Of course, and then I was chosen for a problem. They had a lot of LCC lecturers and people down. And I was chosen for a problem. And of course, I was chosen. It was too ridiculous, really, because, you see, I'd already been in the factory, in my aunt's factory. And I was given, it was supposed to be a bottle factory. And this girl, a bottle had exploded. She was doing something, I don't know what it was, but it had exploded in her hand, and her hand was full of glass. So, of course, in a factory, I knew that you had people, you know, I said, here, you and you and you go and get, you know, get me a bowl, get some water, and hold a hand in here, you go for the doctor, you get me some something to cover it over with. It was done in less than a minute. That was my problem. That was finished. But, I mean, we had all those things, but they insisted upon us taking elementary and advanced first aid in St. John's and Red Cross. So that was the training. We had a month's really hard, hard training.
What did that involve for first aid in addition to the problems?
The ordinary, normal, you know, cuts and...
Things like putting on dressings?
Oh, yes, yes. For instance, if you were walking in a lane and somebody had broken their leg, well, you just had to go and break a piece of tree and bandage it up. It was all emergencies. Anything in emergency, you see. That's why it was called the emergency corps. Well, then, by then, we were allowed, after we'd finished our training there, we were allowed to buy our uniforms, which was khaki, you see, proper khaki.
Did you all succeed in the training, or were there any people who decided it wasn't...
Oh, no, there were some people, they found it too hard, yes. Some people found it too hard, but the majority were very, very good. But it was I was very proud, really, to have belonged to it. Well, then, afterwards, I don't know what happened to Mrs. Charlesworth, because when you get... You see, we first of all worked up to a company, and then we had enough people for a battalion. Well, you see, you don't see very much of the top people then. And then we had a route march. You've seen there, we had a route march, and we went to the mansion house, finished up at the mansion house, and had to drill them outside the mansion house. And, of course, people were all giggling and laughing and saying, women soldiers. Just imagine having women soldiers. Whoever thought of such a thing? And they used to sneer at us and all kinds of things.
Both men and women sneered at you?
Pardon?
Did both men and women sneer at you?
No, some. Well, you see, they'd never seen anything like that before, you see. And they were so, I won't say startled, but they just said, oh, why can't the boys have the khaki? Because, you see, everything was in short supply, because all the men had rushed to join up, you see. And there we were. So we were given jobs, you see, that we had to go, for instance, Bethnal Green Workhouse had to be turned into a hospital to receive the guest patients. See, and of course the drivers had to be ready to run up to Charing Cross station to get them. And we had ambulance, you know, the ambulance drill.
You said that you transformed the workhouse into a hospital. What did that involve?
That meant cleaning out all the dirty places, scrubbing it, painting the bedsteads, get everything clean and tidy. And then there were some kind of things we had, because when it was going to be they were using mustard gas then, the Kaiser's time. They used mustard gas and we had to get them. Fortunately, we only had a few. There weren't a whole crowd, but we did have some. But then we had to be ready to get onto a fire engine if the bombs were falling, because they did drop some Zeppelin bombs. And we had to be ready to get onto the ambulance to do first aid, you see, onto the fire engines, to go with them to do first aid, be prepared. See, and in an emergency, nothing, but we did have a kit by then.
In the Women's Emergency Corps, your job involved cleaning and preparing the workhouse and
yes.
then fetching the patients
yes.
from Charing Cross.
From Charing Cross, yes.
But not then nursing the patients.
No, not nursing, no. No, there were people there already.
What condition were the men in when you got them at Charing Cross?
In stretchers, that's all. I mean,
what sort of physical condition, mental condition?
Were
they conscious?
We didn't stop. Oh, yes, they were conscious. But, I mean, we didn't stop on the top. I mean, it was a job that had to be done quickly. You see, I mean, it was just a quick job. Do it. And we had Lillian Barker. She was the first. After she left us, but she came down to Woolwich Arsenal. Oh. If you'd have heard her give orders, there was no nonsense about her. And she was the first woman prison governor. But there was no nonsense about Lillian Barker. Oh.
Why are you saying, oh, do you remember any particular incident?
Oh, no, only she would shout at you if something wasn't done quickly enough.
Did she ever shout at you?
She was very, very nice, but she kept you on your toes. She didn't shout at me particularly, but if something wasn't done, absolutely, it had to be done at the moment. Oh, yes, no nonsense with Lillian Barker. No sympathy, you know, you just worked. You were there for working and you jolly well did it. You joined an emergency corps and you had to do your job, and you were women soldiers.
Do you think there was particular emphasis on doing your job because you were women and people would say, oh, they can't do it, they're women, so you had to work extra hard?
No, I think they rather admired us. I think they rather admired us for that, because they could see that we were working. Yes. There were only people sneering because we were wearing khaki. It was that they sneered at. And then when I got my sergeant stripes, oh dear, that first night, I'll never forget it, people shouting out, "Kiss me, Sergeant." I went straight away. The next morning I went to Burberry's and bought an overcoat so that I could put it on so that I didn't show my stripes. Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
What did your aunt think of all this?
Oh, she didn't mind it. She didn't mind that. She knew that something had to be done, and I think she rather admired me, because you see, she was having to sack the girls, a few girls at the time, and eventually they nearly all left. Well, then it was that when I left her for the daytime, I joined the munitions, for driving munitions, and then it was then that I carried on. That was WD, you know, the War Office, for driving munitions. I used to drive a ton and a half lorry, and I used to take steel rods and nose cap forgings and all kinds of things to the various factories, Wilkinson's sword factory, and then one day I had to go to the mint. Oh dear, I had to take some stuff into the mint, and then they loaded me up with a load of, I thought, I didn't know what it was. Anyhow, they loaded me up, just loaded me up like that. And I had to drive to the docks, and they unloaded at the docks and all. After they'd done it, they said, "Do you know what you've been carrying?" I said, "No." "You've been carrying gold ignots." They were all painted white, you see. And I just thought it was something to do with munitions. And I had that. And nobody with me.
What sort of lorry was it?
It was a Renault. No, wait a moment. Yes, so R-E-N-O-T, one of the early ones. And it was gravity-fed. And oil-drip-feed, what you call oil-drip-feed. See, that meant that it was a long glass thing. You could see how the various parts were automatically, as you went along, were being oiled. And if one part failed, you had to keep on wriggling it with your finger.
Now, where was this glass?
On the dashboard. You see, and gravity fed. And one day I had a whole load of steel rods, or brass rods, I think they were, and I was going up a hill, and of course I hadn't run out of petrol, but I hadn't got enough petrol in it. Of course, being gravity-fed, I had to turn round and back up the hill. It must have looked silly, but I couldn't help it. I had to do it before I got some more petrol. That was gravity-fed.
Did you have difficulty getting supplies of petrol during the war?
Oh, no, no, no. No, no, no. Oh, no, we had plenty of petrol. Oh, plenty.
How had you learned to drive?
Oh, I drove years before. Oh, yes, I drove, I don't know how many years before the war. So I really knew all about driving. I could take it straight on, you see. Mind you, I knew what I could drive, and I could fiddle around with things, but I didn't know what I was... If you asked me what I was driving, you know, what happened, I knew about this oil feed, and I knew about the petrol, but, I mean, I didn't know any of the others. So that when... After we'd done all our donkey work in there, and then the army saw that we had made good, then they suddenly thought they would start the WACS, you see, the Women's Army Auxiliary Corps.